Welcome to the official podcast of PHP Architect. Join us to listen to the latest news and tech talk from our conferences, the magazine, and wider PHP community.
You're listening to the official podcast of PHP Architect. This is episode 2025.08.14. I am your host, Eric Van Johnson, and with me, as always, my friend, John Congdon.
One day we will remember why we chose Semver as our episode numbers, but until then, we will
100% sure it was your idea. It drives me crazy.
It was my idea. I was going to say, it was back when we talked Semver a lot, so I thought it was funny.
This podcast focuses on all things PHP and web development. We also touch on the larger PHP community and our general life of being developers. We're also going to talk about our company, PHP Architect, the magazine, the books, the conferences, and just in general what it's like running a company and making a living off of PHP. We record every Thursday around 3 p.m. Pacific time. The podcast is made a little better thanks to our partners over at Honey Badger. Honey Badger helps you deploy with confidence and be your team's DevOps hero by combining error, uptime, and performance monitoring in one platform. It's free to get started, and setup only takes a few minutes. Be the hero your team needs, suit up at Honey Badger. We'll touch on them a little bit more later. If you're watching the, I was waiting for you to say some shit about the way I read that.
No. You did great.
If you don't watch the live stream and only listen to the audio version, we'd love to have you join us on our YouTube channel at youtube.com/phparch and participate in the show yourself by popping into our Discord at discord.phparch.com, and you can all make the show just a little better, or I can target you like I will be doing later today with one particular person in our Discord.
So you might not want to join Discord if you don't want to be targeted. Just saying.
John, why is it so noisy over there?
I am 3D printing stuffs.
You're 3D printing stuff, man.
And I did not time it very well to be done before the podcast. So
if you started it like in the last 12 hours, you didn't time it very well. At least that's how it is for me, I feel like.
No, I started earlier and it failed. So
I went to visit a friend in Colorado Springs. A mutual friend, I might say. And he also, I know you got the bamboo. You had the snap maker, which I took off your hands, and I need to actually clean the thing. But you got the bamboo, and they also have the bamboo. And I've talked to a few people now that have gotten those bamboo printers. And I have to say, not one person has complained about it. I'm very envious and thinking, now that I have a bigger office, like right there under the TV would be a good place for a little bamboo 3D printer.
Yeah, for the most part, I've had no issues with mine. Like, I told it to print, it prints. Had a couple where the first layer maybe not didn't stick very well and screwed up, but the spaghetti detection within it has been pretty good. However, I did have one issue a couple weeks ago at this point where I can't even remember what happened, but I think the nozzle just got clogged.
Mm-hmm. That's the problem I have with the snap maker right now. I got to clean that nozzle.
So I finally did a cold pull, and I pulled out a piece from the nozzle, and I thought everything was good. I go to bed, and I come back the next morning to just filament all over my office. I didn't put the filament back into the nozzle because I thought it was paused, not doing anything. And I come back, and it just kind of kept spitting it out. I'm like, oh, my God. And so I tried rewinding. I'm like, screw this. I just clipped off this big pot of it. I'm like, I'll just start over. But it turned out the nozzle was still clogged. I'm like, what the hell? So I do all the research, and then I decide, okay, I need to take the nozzle out and really clean it properly. The wires in there, the little connector. The little connectors, they are very little. I went to pull one of the connectors and ended up only grabbing the wires, and I pulled two wires straight out of the connector.
There you go. That won't be a problem.
I'm like, no. Finally got everything else pulled apart, And luckily, I didn't pull the wire out of the metal piece. I actually pulled the metal piece out of the plastic. So all I had to do was like,
oh, okay,
shove that back into the connector,
yeah,
and everything is working fine. But that was like heartbreaking when I did that. I'm like, I cannot believe I just did that rookie move of yank on the wires, which I wasn't trying to do. I just couldn't keep my fingers around the little connector. But we got there. It's back up and running fine.
Obviously, I can hear it. Yeah. What are you printing? Anything fun?
Nothing fun. I'm trying to clean up my desk area. So I'm doing this open grid on the wall over here. And I'm
that's what I was trying to print when my thing clogged as well. My nozzle clogged. That whole storage framework thing that everybody is using, mm-hmm, is that what you're doing?
No, well, maybe.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different versions out there. I went with open grid for the base, like the wall mounts, and then there's plenty of connectors to do the different mounting system onto it.
Yeah.
So
okay.
Kind of clean my area up a little bit.
Some business out of the way and say hi to our people in Discord, because we got Derek in there, the guy behind, Jesus, why am I seeing debug. Yeah, I kept wanting to call it PHP debug. I'm like, that's not what it's called. Jeffrey Davison, hello. CC Miller, Chris, I'm calling you Christopher now because you work for us, so you have to have the real name in Discord. But
do you prefer Christopher or Chris? We keep forgetting to ask you.
Christopher. So, I have asked. I just don't care. I call him Chris all the time. And I don't feel bad about it. But yeah, Christopher is what he prefers. To answer your question, no, you may not expense a 3D printer. Christopher is one of the team members here at PHP Architect and doing a bang-up job in his third week.
Ken, you took my joke for what I hope is going to be next week. I was going to open, but I didn't get to actually do it yet. But I was going to open with, when we're talking about 3D printing, I finally did it. I tried on Katie's underwear. Hands on Katie.
I don't know what that means. What does this word mean?
Hands on Katie is a YouTube channel, and she does a lot of 3D printing, home automation, just a ton of different things, but a lot of 3D printing. And she designed underwear, which is basically channels for your wires under your desk.
So I've seen this.
So it's underwear, WARE, not underwear like you're wearing them. So, but yes, I do plan on doing that.
Welcome back, Ken. It's been a while. OFFS. I almost said it again. Saw you in there. Duck Nizzle. I see you. Good. Welcome.
And Nelwix.
Nelwix. I miss Nelwix.
Nelwix up at 302. Said they tuned in.
Awesome. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out with us. Oh, shit. Sarah's in here.
Yep.
Getting to be an old lady, Sarah, if you're worried about your stories. Unless we're the story. That would be terrifying.
All right. I told you I was going to shock you with something. I don't know.
Oh, God.
I don't know if it's
really early in the show.
It's not going to be really that shocking. No, I want it early in the show on purpose.
Okay.
If you're listening to the show, you have until next show next week, so preferably today, I am offering you two different ways to get the PHP Architect magazine. Your first option is you get 6 months free. Just use promo code podcast6. You get 6 months free, and then it goes to normal price after that. Your second option, and this is where Eric doesn't know, and he may veto this in real time. your other option is $1.99 a month. So $3 off.
What?
Using promo code podcast3. I cannot make it open-ended. So it's not $1.99 for life. It is going to be $1.99 a month for the next 10 years. Then it will go to full price.
Wait. Did you say for the next 10 years?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, man. That is super exciting, man. Is this a limited time thing or?
Yeah, I made the coupon code. They expire next Thursday. So you have 1 week. If you are watching now, go get your subscription. If you listen to the audio podcast, hopefully you're caught up and you're listening almost real time, because you have 1 week to use those promo codes.
1 week. That's actually very touching. What a lot of people don't know is this is a conversation John and I have been having for a while, and we've set that as our goal for the price of the magazine, and we just don't know how we're going to get there. But I think it's very touching that's a great idea. We should have done this way sooner. I love this idea. That's very nice. Thanks. I assume you chose that number because of our conversations.
So. I did choose that number because of our conversation.
So I saw Native PHP said hi to us. Hi, Native PHP. Whether you're Simon or Shane or somebody else in Native PHP, hello. Did you see who else is in our Discord, John? Is he in Discord or YouTube? No, he's in Discord.
Jeremy.
Yeah, Jeremy. Yeah. I haven't seen you in a minute. Why haven't I seen you at a tech yet? Is my big question. We've had a few of them. So that's coming up. 2020. You terrified me earlier. Was it today where you're like, oh my God, the dates aren't on the website? I'm like, no, they totally are.
Because I've gone like a couple times and I keep noticing there's no dates. And then somebody asked, when should I book my airfare for? And I'm like, the dates are already set. And I went and looked and I scrolled all the way to the bottom. I couldn't find it. Scroll back to the top. I'm like, oh, there it is. But the text was so small. So I bumped it up. I went from text small to text 4XL. So
yeah, I see that. Looks much better. That was actually a good move. So
yeah,
thanks for doing that.
Yeah. So yeah, dates for tech next year are set May 19th through the 21st. Please come and join us.
Hello, Hunter. Yeah. More importantly, get your Jeremy. Excuse me. Get your talk submissions in. Jesus Christ. I don't know what happened to me there. Get your talk submissions in. Call for papers are open, and we are excited for next year. We're excited for the future of PHP Tech, actually. Matter of fact, John and I have some conversations to have, but we've been talking about some things, and it's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. So, and for the record, this is off the record. Nobody knows about this, but we are looking for ways to continue to like say thank you for people who attend tech. So we have some ideas in mind on, you know, how to do that even after the conference. So yeah. Just keep that in mind.
So I was confused when you said Jeremy hadn't been there. So I had to go look. I'm like, he was there in 2023.
Oh, was he? No, he wasn't.
Yeah. He was a speaker. Oh.
Jeremy talked in 2023?
Yep.
Dude, how did I, you know why? Because that was our first year, huh?
Yeah.
Dude, that whole conference was a blur to me. I was just my God, we were trying to get PHP Tech TV, you know, to stay online, and oh my goodness. Sorry, Jeremy. I didn't Hey Jeffrey, how's it going? I think I said hi to you already. Skimmer, how's it going, man? Give me a sign up and then what? Almost impossible. Yeah, well, I mean, yeah. Okay, so yeah, a little criticism. Okay, you got us, you call us, but you found it. You found it, didn't you, Skimmer? So, you know, whatever.
And to be fair, I don't have control over that. That's a Stripe thing, so.
Oh, is that after the handoff to Stripe?
Yeah, it's on
I still haven't gone through the new workflow, so I don't really honestly know what's what. Yeah. So,
Derek, we know you like Chicago. We like Chicago too. And I also understand that you don't want to visit for at least 3 years.
Oh, is that official? Did that actually happen?
What?
Did he say he's not coming back for a while?
Yeah. He said he wasn't going to submit this for 2026.
You dog. Are you serious? All right, man. I better not see you speaking at another conference, especially keynoting like somebody. Corey, who I thought was my friend, Corey Lint, I believe is how you say the last name. Let me pull it up here real fast.
Yep.
We were making plans because we are sponsors at Longhorn this year, so we're making plans for our trip. And I went to check out their site, and they had their keynote speakers up, and Corey's there. I'm like, yep. You haven't spoken at tech in years, and now you're keynoting? Are you sure you're ready for that?
I'm sure she's ready for it.
I am too. She's a great person. I'm very excited. Fun fact, if you haven't done so, stalk Corey on the internet. She's a cellist. Cello? Is that what you call him?
Yep.
Somebody who plays the cello. And she's part of a group. I think it was like three or four of them. I think it was three. I'm going to say four. And they're quite good. I mean, it's like classical music sort of stuff. So you probably wouldn't appreciate it, John, but it's actually very, very good. So
you mean I would appreciate it.
Very, very happy. Very excited for you, Corey. We'll be there and I will be heckling you from the crowd. So prepare.
Well, he will not really tackle you.
You know what was really funny is, you know, I was listening to some of her music, but I came across a interview she gave somewhere, and it showed, you know, like regular pictures, you know, just, you know, not like pose sort of pictures. Mm-hmm. And she was working, and I saw a little Oscar sitting on her desk. I'm like, all right, well, I'm gonna give her a pass there. She's got the Oscar on her desk, so I'm happy.
She's sharing the link to their YouTube channel, so I'll put it in the show for anybody.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, throw that in there. Yeah, it's actually really good to listen to. And I even found, it's not her, but she's part of this other person on Spotify. I saw her name on there. I'm like, oh, cool. So
we're excited for you, Corey. I know we're getting out of time, but we are excited.
Not too excited for him. He pisses me off. Ever since he's been on the show, he's like too big for us now. We whatever. Corey House. Do you know Corey House?
No.
I did not know Corey House. I guess he's more of a JavaScript person, a TypeScript person, I think is his kind of specialty. And Florian, I think everybody knows Florian.
Yeah.
Such a wonderful person. Great guy. So, John.
So, Eric.
We got through our first week of our new client Curiosity Stream. And they seem pretty happy.
I like when clients are happy. Yep.
I do too. Matter of fact, we typically have a weekly meeting with all of our clients just to make sure like we're addressing their needs and meeting their goals and stuff. And I had asked that of my person at Curiosity Stream. I don't want to say who it is because, you know, whatever. But I asked that, and he was like, no, not really. He's like, we have an engineering meeting if you want to join that. But, you know, right now everything's good. I'm like, yeah, that's fine with me.
Darn. I don't have to take more time out.
I know, exactly. So, yeah, excited. That's actually the contract Chris is working on. So he seems to be doing a bang-up job. I mean, that's all the compliments Chris is getting out of me for a while, though. He's pissing me off. He's very yappy and slack. I'm like, dude, do I need to give you more work? I don't know how this guy does it. This guy, first thing, gets his work done and then writes a million times. There's actually a blog post I posted today on our blog. It's really freaking good. Like, I'm reading this blog post. I'm like, why are we posting this on our blog? This should be in the magazine. Like, this is really good. But I think I kind of know why he did it. So he's talking about PHP fibers, but he's very, very specifically talking about like his real world experience with it. And, you know, some of the stuff that, you know, he went through and the other things he tried before he got to fibers and how much he liked fibers. So really a good read. I mean, it's not so much of a how to use fibers sort of thing. It's more of a, you know, hey, this is, you know, things to think about. This is what we went through. You know, this, that. So it's a great read. I was really happy to have this on our blog. We have another blog post coming out tomorrow from Freak Wallen. The guys are starting to want to write blog posts, so I'm super excited about that. It's really, really quite encouraging to me. I enjoy that.
And I appreciate articles like this in the magazine too, like real world struggles or things that people overcame, how they're using things. So
do you?
I do.
Yeah. I think I do too. I always thought I was like, you know, I mean, that's kind of like what Yelling at Clouds is now with Grumpy, right? Kind of just talking about like real world experiences. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you aren't subscribed to the magazine, and you probably should do that, but we have a lot. So we do two feature articles where anybody can submit. So you don't have to be, we're not asking you, the deadline you dictate. And if you need to push the deadline, it's fine. All we ask is you let us know so we can plan our releases. But if you're ever interested, write for us. We'll pay you. We do pay our contributors. But we also have a band of regular columnists. And it's very, very nice to kind of start to get used to reading one of the columnist columns. Like you get very familiar, like Eric Mann's one of them for me. Like you get very familiar with how they write, and you start to look forward to, like, okay, you know, like to see what they talk about next month, right? Like I wish our columnists were ahead enough of the game where they could say, next month this is what we're going to discuss. And I know how difficult that is. We have that for the podcast. People's like, why don't you tell us what you're talking about on the podcast before you start streaming? You'll probably get more people. I'm like, yeah, that would be great if we had an idea what the hell we're going to talk about. We would probably
if we were that organized. Yeah. That's just crazy talk.
Yeah. But yeah, if you're ever interested in writing for us, please do so. We're very patient. We will help you through the process. We're not, this isn't what we do. We're not writers, you know, we're not journalists. We know how difficult it is. We understand how nerve-wracking it is. But like I said, Laricon, guys on Laricon talking to 1,500 people, showing off TMUX. It's like, I would have never thought to do that. Like, I use TMUX every day. It's like, why would I, who needs to learn about TMUX? It's just like the thing. Like, why would you need to learn about it? You know, you forget. Like, there are people out there that just don't do those sort of things. And you should consider writing about it. Or you don't even have to write about it. Just give us ideas of what you're thinking, and we'll let you know if we think it's a fit or not before you waste the time. So, all right, speaking of time, let's give Honey Badger a quick shout out, and we can start diving into some things. Actually, you haven't even told me about your week yet, John. So let's probably do that too. All right, Honey Badger.
When your app breaks in production, you want to quickly understand and fix it, not sift through logs for the next hour. That's where Honey Badger comes in. Honey Badger notifies you of errors, outages, and performance issues as they occur and helps you respond instantly when your systems go down. When you need to dig deeper, Honey Badger's advanced query engine helps you reach into your logs and grab just the information you need. With error tracking, performance and uptime monitoring, log management, and support for over 10 languages, Honey Badger is the best tool to gain real-time insights into your application's health and performance. Best of all, it's free to get started, and setup takes less than 5 minutes. Be sure to bookmark honeybadger.io. That's www.honeybadger.io.
Thank you.
Thank you, Honey Badger.
Shane from Native PHP, I'm going to interrupt you for a second. From Native PHP, Shane, if you're still around, I'm not trying to call anybody out. I'm not trying to say I'm better or more excited or more, you know, supportive of Native PHP. But I am going to say I'm doing a talk on Native PHP at our next user group meetup. And John basically said, I'm not interested. I won't be coming to that one. Whatever, John. Still doing it.
That's can't not exactly how that went down. Thank you very much.
Basically what happened.
Basically, but not quite. My wife texted me this morning. She's like, our son's back to school night is on August 27th. I see SDPHP is that night. Is there any chance you could change that? And I was like, no, I don't think so. I go, but I could miss it. And she goes, it's up to you. And I'm like, well, I'm sad on both ends. Like, I really want to go to the meetup, but I also want to meet my son's teachers. He's new to middle school, and I kind of want to go learn about all of his classes and all that. So I made a decision to go to my kid's school. So
basically he's saying he loves his kid more than he loves me. I'm just, yeah, we all know that now.
Bo Simonson in Discord said they haven't been to a conference since 2019 and they're missing it. And my favorite
2019.
My favorite story is going to Longhorn, I think it was 2021, and I can't think of the guy's name, but I really thought it was Bo. So I walked up and I said, "Hi, Bo," and I like started talking, and then realized, "Oh, you're not Bo." So, Bo, your doppelganger was at like I said, I believe it was Longhorn, and I got you confused. I'm sorry.
You know what's funny is, did you know Bo was a DJ?
I think he told me that. Yeah,
dude, we were at Laricon in New York, and the DJ's like up on like the second floor, and I look up and I see Bo. I'm like, well, looks like freaking Bo, man. Let's see. And he doesn't know me, or he didn't know me then. He might know me now, but he didn't. He doesn't know who I am. He had a great podcast. I forget what it was called now. I feel terrible about it. It was one of my favorite podcasts where him, I think he moved out of the country and he was basically him and his friend were podcasting and talking about like, you know, being in this new place, this new job and all this. It was a great podcast. We should have him on at some point and see what he's been up to. But I look up, I'm like, that's freaking cool. So I walk up there and I'm like, hey, man, I just want to say hi. You know, and he was doing a great job. And then, yeah, I'm such a geek at this stuff. This is my thing, right? I'm like, people don't understand. I'm like a fanboy, a geek person. Like, I really appreciate, you know, people who code well and, you know, who teach. And
then why do you like
me? Oh, it's just one of those people. Huh?
I said, then why do you like me? He said,
I don't like you, John. We should know this right now. So there's a little back and forth on ZSH. Jeffrey, yes, to answer your question, I think a article on ZSH wouldn't be horrible if you were interested. It would actually probably have been better timing when Apple was switching over to ZSH as their default shell. But yeah, I think that's great. And then I think it was OFFS said that ZSH is evil. How can a shell be evil, first off? And second, I'd be curious to find out more about why that is. Okay, let's do something. You got anything else? Well, how was your week before we dive into it too much? How was your week, John? I feel like I've been...
How was my week? I think I've been sharing like struggles mentally at work lately. So that's been, that's still ongoing. And I've been trying to be open and honest, like I'm struggling and here's where I'm at. So things are coming around, getting better there. And then yesterday I decided to start drinking at 9 a.m. and didn't finish until 10 p.m. So that was good.
That's interesting to hear.
No, it wasn't really like that. Yesterday was my kid's first day back to school, and my wife and I always go to brunch. So went to brunch with her where we get to talk about things and decided to have a couple of mimosas because it's brunch. You can't do brunch. It's not brunch if you don't have mimosas. That's just the way it is
for me. That's, I think it's a law, actually.
Yeah. And then I did go out last night with a buddy because we had a RPLL, which are our Little League board meeting last night. So I said, hey, the board meeting's via Zoom. Do you want to meet up at Pitchers, which is the local bar here? And he's like, sure. So went there, listened to the board meeting, and then just sat and chatted and had some beers. So there were many hours in the middle of the day that I was not drinking. So it was a and drink all day. Not that I'm opposed to it. I just didn't. So yeah, I mean, my week's been fine. Things are getting better.
I have to admit, again, before I move on to other Laravel stuff, or not Laravel stuff, other PHP stuff, other Laravel is in there. Let's stick with PHP Architect for a moment. You know, I thought this when we brought Joe on. Like, I feel like Joe Ferguson was a very important piece of our puzzle that we've been missing for a while. Like, somebody, we all can work on servers, right? We're all pretty good with it. Kalen has really become fantastic in AWS's environment, which, if you don't know, is a little bit more than just working on servers. He started some initiatives out there that I think really kind of, you know, made things way better, including Elastic Beanstalk and things like that. But Joe, we brought in, he's the first person we brought in whose sole purpose is to make sure all the environments, all the servers are running. If there's an issue, you know, he's our go-to. And I felt like the tide was turning a little bit. Like, okay, I'm feeling less overwhelmed. And I think the team itself is feeling less overwhelmed. And I know Kalen is feeling less overwhelmed. So that was good. Then we bring Chris on. And the thing Chris is bringing to the table is an enthusiasm that I think we haven't really had not to knock the guys. Like, everybody's working hard. We've been buried. We've been trying to keep up with stuff. But Chris comes in and he has this enthusiasm, not only for the work he's doing, but for the communities as well. Like, he's the guy, if you don't know, if you're in our Discord, he gives certain people a heads up, like an hour and a, what was it, an hour and 20 hour, minutes?
Hour and 37 minutes today.
37. Oh, yeah. Like, he's that guy. He's the one that did the blog posts and fibers that I shared earlier. He's a contributor to the magazine. I think he's written articles for like the rest of the year. So he actually doesn't have articles due for the rest of the year in the magazine. So with him came a new client, not because of him, but it's not like we have the same workload. We increased our workload, which always adds a lot of anxiety to me, because I feel like for the first couple months, that's all I'm doing is just running around trying to make sure things are coordinated correctly and everything. And yeah, it's been very smooth, like almost too smooth where I'm getting nervous, but I'm feeling like so less stressed. I'm feeling like I have time to like work on the company website again, things like that. So I feel like I'm going to jinx it, but man, I'm feeling good. Like, we're getting good feedback on our partner program. I mean, we've kind of landed a partner, not officially yet. You know, still some paperwork needs to be done, but we've already landed a partner. We're getting great feedback on our package and, you know, what people think of it. And I don't know, I just feel like we're a business again. Like, it's weird. Like, I feel like we're running a business. It's
right. We're it's not awesome. Not constantly chasing our tails, although mm-hmm. there's doing that a lot too. But
yeah. So, yeah.
I've been going back to business. I've actually been staying on top of our books again for the past couple of months, because that's a pain in the ass too. So I think it's all, like you said, coming to a head where you have good people doing good work. You and I are trying to maintain things as best we can. And yeah, been happy with that stuff.
Yeah, and it's just a testament to how good the entire team is. I don't think the entire team as a whole has, you know, really, we've really shined enough of a light on them, because again, you know, we're just like treading water, trying to keep our heads above the water, which is like, don't get me wrong, a good place to be. Like, we had more work than we should have, you know, probably should have had been handling, but the team did it, but we didn't have like that extra time. You know, we were talking about how much of a struggle it is now to even do things like our local user group, because it's just like, really don't have time for this. You know, just so many things like that. But feeling like, you know, yeah, the team is really gelling together. Everybody enjoys working with each other, and I'm real happy with it. Okay, so last week we ran long. We're already at 3:40, so I feel like I have to blitz some stuff here. Is there anything in particular you want to talk about before I get into my rant?
No, I want to hear your rant.
You want to hear my rant? All right. Okay, so let's wrap up Laracon, because we brushed over a lot of things that I think are important to discuss. First thing, there is a write-up. This is something, I mean, I guess I knew this, but didn't really know this. Laravel now has its own blog, blog.laravel.com. If you didn't know, back in the day, Laravel News was the official blog of Laravel. I mean, even Taylor said Laravel News is our blog, and Eric Barnes and his team would handle all that. But Laravel now has a blog. But they do have a little bit of a wrap-up of everything that was announced. They say everything that was announced, but I really don't think it was everything. Some quick highlights, if you care. Laravel Cloud now officially supports MySQL, which, if you didn't know, when they first released, it was Postgres. They had a beta that you get on with MySQL. But yeah, now it's officially supported. Unfortunately, I just tore down our Laravel Cloud environment because we're not using it. Like, I was using it, I think I even shared it on the stream last week, where I'm building our new website, and that I'd use that to deploy. But I mean, it's just too expensive to keep around for that. It was like, you know, 110, I think, just for nothing, like literally nothing. A site that was nobody knew was out there, wasn't being hit. So yeah, I actually just spun it down. But they also have, I mean, we all do that. Well, we all should be doing this, but we all have different environments before we hit production. I guess Laravel Cloud now opened up a way where you can do that in Laravel Cloud much easier. Not a whole lot about that. The interesting
before we move on was that 110 a month, and mm-hmm. is that like were we doing something wrong for it to be that expensive, or is that just Laravel that was, Cloud pricing?
That was just the Laravel price. I think that was for the smallest instance. A database. So the database was separate. The database isn't on the instance itself.
Which it shouldn't be. So that's good.
Yeah. I think it also has some caching on there. And it does a bunch of stuff for you as well. So yeah, that's just like, was like the baseline price, to be honest with you. And we're going to get into that a little bit more here in a second. But yeah, it just wasn't bringing enough to the table for us. I honestly feel like cloud is a fit for people, A, if you have some money, but don't want to do any sort of server management at all. And honestly, the stuff we have deployed through Forge is what we currently use, requires very little server management. Like so much of the stuff you can do in Forge, and every now and then we log on and do stuff. Again, Joe has been doing a great job keeping our Mastodon instance up to speed, so that's great. But yeah, I think Laravel Cloud is just meant to abstract all that away. Like, there's nothing for you to do. You can still SSH the machine. I'm pretty sure I remember seeing that. But that's their goal, is so that you don't have to do anything on the machine. Yeah. So, anyways, like I said, we use Forge. That was actually the conversation I was more interested in. We're not dependent on Forge. Again, Forge is a luxury for us, where we just want like something easy to manage our servers and deploy things and do things. So like Forge is nice. Everything I did on Forge, I was actually had scripts doing before Forge existed. But we've been on Forge now for
years.
A while. Yeah, like 5, 6, 7 years. Like, it's been a while that we've had Forge. We also had Envoyer. Now, if you didn't understand the difference, they're both Laravel products. You pay for them separately. Envoyer was meant to be this zero downtime deployment system. And again, I had a script doing this. They make it sound like more than it is, but it was nice. You'd set up your project to auto deploy when you push to a branch, or at least that's an option. That's how I used to do it. And instead of deploying on top of your existing deployment, it would deploy to a whole new directory. Once everything finished deploying correctly, or finished deploying correctly based on the steps that you had defined, it would switch over to that new site. And that was the zero downtime, right? There was no, in theory, the site, if it passed all the tests and everything, it would be up and running and it would just switch over. It was good. It was efficient. They're bringing that to Forge. So Forge will have a zero downtime deployment. There it is right there. It will have a zero downtime deployment, which leads me to believe, and I don't have official, I haven't seen anything official on this, but I can't imagine Forge hanging around.
Envoyer?
I'm sorry. Envoyer. I can't imagine Envoyer hanging around, because it's just there, man. It's like Forge basically does it all for you. Like, I don't think there's anything Envoyer is doing that the new Forge isn't doing. And I'm not even sure if the new Forge is released yet. I haven't looked at the interface in a while.
Yeah, they also didn't talk about Envoyer at all during their...
No, didn't even... even during this conversation, when they were going over this, they didn't even say, like Envoyer, or what we were doing when Envoyer, nothing like that. The other thing, again, kind of along those same lines of people who don't really want to manage servers, but this is something I don't understand, and they make a big deal out of it. This was a big deal with Forge initially, with how fast you could spin up a server. It became even a bigger deal with cloud, right? The whole, his whole goal with Laravel Cloud was that you could be online and deployed within a minute, right? Well, now Forge has VPSs, which are these dedicated like Laravel instances meant to spin up faster for you. And I don't understand this obsession with getting a new instance up immediately. It just doesn't make, like, who cares if it takes a minute or two to spin up your first server to deploy something? Like, what am I, Do people care about this? Like, is it really that big of a thing, do you think,
Jim? I think, I don't know if it has anything to do with scaling, but I would care if it came to auto scaling. The load on my server jumped, you know, up beyond whatever threshold I set. I need another instance in there to help relieve the load of that server. Mm-hmm. Then I care, but I don't think this is about auto scaling. I think this is just spinning up a server. And no, I don't understand that other than the gratification of, I want it now. Mommy, I'm not going to wait. Give it to me now.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, so Forge doesn't do any routing, so this isn't like a load balancer situation or anything like that. They're just instances, and they're not even instances that Laravel is hosting. They're instances on whatever service you use. We use DigitalOcean, AWS. So what I think they did, you know, they just created these instances on these other services that they could now reference to spin up faster. But yeah, I don't understand this obsession with getting a server. To your point, if this is a scaling scenario, yes. But if this is a scaling scenario, again, you start spinning up the server. Like, you don't spin up the server after you've already needed it. You just start to spin it up as you're needing it. So yeah, I don't understand the big thing in the Laravel community about getting a server up and running. Yeah, whatever. I've spun up too many servers.
He was so proud of that. So
he really was. And that's the thing. Like, this is old man, you know, tech guy talk. Is like, back in my day, we had to order the server, we had to rack the server, we had to, you know, put the OS. It took days. I can wait a minute. So yeah, that's something. Laravel 12 was announced. You know, it's just new Laravel stuff. The biggest thing in Laravel 12 was a Laravel boost. And we'll talk about that here in a second. I don't think there's anything else. Oh, there is something else. Ranger. I don't remember them talking about Ranger. I'm not even sure what Ranger is, but it's coming soon. Yeah. It sounds like it's another PHP stand sort of thing where it looks at your Laravel app and, you know, starts to make determinations based on what you have and how you should be doing stuff. Don't know what this is. Nightwatch, everybody's all the rage about Nightwatch. Hey, now, full disclosure, I think this is a good...
Hang on, before we move on to this, Steamer was talking about the VPS and that it's only on DigitalOcean. So if you want that quick speed, you have to be using DO servers. Oh. I think a lot of that has to do with the partnership that DigitalOcean and Laravel now have together. I was speaking with the DigitalOcean rep, obviously trying to talk to them about a partnership with PHP Architect. And that's what kind of came around. They are partners with Laravel. So I'm sure there's all sorts of concessions and how they're able to build these servers quickly for them, having instances sit around ready to go. It's my assumption.
I assume there's also some sort of kickback, like a, you know, MLM, right? Like, you know, they get a certain percentage of whatever that server pays every month or something. I don't know that. I don't know for a fact. Don't hold me to that. I haven't looked into the DigitalOcean partnership, but I got, you know, kind of, if you've ever used DigitalOcean, you know that there's a lot of servers out there. Like, you can just go out and spin up. I think that's actually what I did for a Mastodon server. I looked for a Mastodon instance and you don't pay anything extra. It's about the same price. It's just a instance that's already configured with whatever solution, you know, you're looking for. So I have to assume there's some sort of I say kickback, that revenue sharing is what I should say. Make it sound a little less shady.
like an affiliate program type of thing.
Affiliate program is a better word, yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, Nightwatch, again, disclosure, I think is a direct competitor for Honey Badger. I feel like everybody's all the rage of Nightwatch, how easy it is to install and use. I have yet to actually do it. I'm not intentionally not doing it. I have Honey Badger that seems to do everything Nightwatch does, and I don't really see the need for another solution because Honey Badger is just working for us, but that's out there. Yeah, I feel like that's it. And there was a lot more announced at Laricon, so how they say everything that was announced, I think it's a little short.
Yeah. Christopher says Ranger is wow.
Really?
Yeah.
What's Ranger wow does? Ranger?
What Ranger does is give you type control via a DTO in TypeScript instantly. That was a lot of words that I didn't put together very well. I just read verbatim what he said.
What Ranger does, this is Art, Christopher. What Ranger does is gives you type control via DTO data transfer object and TypeScript. I'm less interested in it then. If it's not helping me with PHP, you're saying this is a TypeScript thing. I'm still not getting it. I don't know what it is.
So I think the everything we announced at Laracon was everything Laravel was announcing about the Laravel apps, not what the other speakers were talking about. So
on that first day,
how they talked for 2 hours and they talked about each of all the open source packages and then all of their paid things like Forge. That's what they were talking about. That's the everything.
I still feel like they were talking way longer than just those things, but maybe you're right. I think you're right. Yeah, I can't think of anything else that was announced. I mean, we mentioned this last week. I don't know. I think it's in the what's coming in Laravel 12 section, but Taylor did do his little routes file walkthrough, which is, if you've been to Laracon, that's his Steve Jobs moment, right? He opens up his routes file where he has like routes for all the new stuff he does, and it's kind of cool. I will say that. All right. So, wow, man, dude, so late in the day already. All right. Laravel Boost was very interesting to me. So we've been talking a lot on the show and just in our industry as a whole about AI and how it's like just permeating everything about what we do and how we do it. Laravel Boost is meant to make using AI much cleaner and much more efficient for Laravel applications. So it's already pretty efficient, right? But if you ever used an AI agent on code, you know, like sometimes it gets mixed up on like what version it's on. Or more importantly, like when new versions come out, it takes a while for the AI agent to understand, oh, this is a new version. I need to understand it. I need to learn it. That's what Laravel Boost is meant to address. So the idea is that when you have this installed, it's going to make things like the, you know, issues of like hallucinations are just being out of date much more efficient, less, right? So essentially, first thing, it's bringing a MCP server to your AI agent. And basically what that is it's its own little agent that, because it understands Laravel and understands how Laravel works and, you know, how you do things in Laravel, it can do things like you can have it access your database and, you know, have questions about what's going on there. It can run like the code it does. It can run it through Tinker. This is not like a tutorial thing where it's like, oh yeah, do this, do this, do this. This is just it doing it. Most importantly, it knows how to search through the documentation, and it will understand how to search through the right documentation for the version of Laravel you're using. And I think this even extends past Laravel. I think it's like Livewire as well. It might even be Tailwind. I don't know. And this is not like a standalone thing. Like, you don't go get like this package and install it. Although it is a Composer install package. As a matter of fact, I think that's all you do here is you just do.
Yeah, it's Composer require and then PHP Artisan Boost install.
Oh yeah, right. I think you actually have to go to the GitHub to see the install things. But you'll see down here, it integrates with your IDEs. It integrates with the existing agents you're working. So for PHP Storm, it's Juni. You can have it integrate with Claude. This is all part of the install process. And this is just letting those services, you know, it's equipping the services to better understand your Laravel project. And there's no cost to this. It's all free. So if you're a Laravel developer and you're into the AI thing, I really don't know why you wouldn't use this. It just seems like, yes, you know, this is what you need. And it's out there now. I don't think it's officially released. Like, I don't think it's a version 1 yet. I think it's still considered beta.
No, it's version 1.017. It's out. Christopher even said in Discord, it's officially out.
It is officially out then. Okay. Well, I did not realize that.
Yeah.
So this is the repo on GitHub.
Yeah. And you were saying in PHP Storm it's Juni. I think it's just adding, I don't think it's Juni specific. It's adding the MCP server to their list. And then Juni can use that, or Claude if you're using it within PHP Storm.
Well, when I went to PHP Storm to enable it, I had to actually enable it under the Juni settings. That's the only place there was to enable it. So yeah, I think it might just be. You're a good point though. Well, the Claude stuff though is Claude code is all command line. So if even within PHP Storm. When you use Claude code, not just Claude, it's Claude code, it just launches a terminal. So,
right, yeah. but it uses JetBrains as an MCP server. Like it will connect to JetBrains, and we can use tools written by JetBrains because of that.
Gotcha. So yeah, fun stuff. Things. This is the sort of thing I think should be happening in AI. Where it's making the tools we as developers use better and more efficient. And this really doesn't change anything as far as like if you don't know how to code, all of a sudden you understand how to code because you have this. Oh, look at all this. So yeah, the core framework, Livewire, Filament, Flux, Herd, a bunch of stuff. I'm not sure what the Herd part is. So in PHP Storm, and when you're doing the install, Herd and Boost are two separate checkboxes, and you can only use one of them. I mean, you can check both of them, but when you say you want to use one, you can only use one of them. So I'm not sure what the Herd version is, but yeah. Anyways, lots of things past PHP Unit, Pint, Tailwind, Vault. Just a ton of things that it integrates with. So again, you're a PHP If you're a Laravel developer. Which you're a PHP developer if you're a Laravel developer, but if you're a Laravel developer, check this out and make your life a little better. Talk about Filament. Filament 4 is out. I'm pretty sure I saw Dan, what's his name? Daniel at Laracon, but I'm so bad with faces. If you ever If you ever walk up to me at a conference and I don't immediately recognize you, please don't be offended. Like, what's his name? Andy Hinkle, I think is how you pronounce his name. He comes up to me every Laracon. Nice guy. It's not like he doesn't stand out. He's taller than I am, or at least my height. I feel like he's taller. Very big smile, very energetic person. It's not like he's a difficult person to remember. And I swear to God, it takes me a couple beats to remember who the hell he is every time he walks up. He's one of the few people who will ask if he can take a picture of me, like when, you know, you go to these things, hey, can I take a picture with you? You know, that sort of thing. I do it all the time. I do it like a million times at a conference. He's one of the few people who wanted to take a picture with me. It just me, not because like some other, like more important person was standing around.
I always forget to do that. I like when it happens and then I don't do it myself. Like, hey,
I do it all the time.
I know you're much better at it.
This year, I actually, with the briefly saw Taylor at the event we went to, but besides that, like at the conference, we talked about this last week. I didn't get a picture with Taylor. I had gotten a picture with Taylor every year since I've been going to Laracon, and this year I didn't even see him. And again, like we said last week, we didn't actually do like the after party stuff. But anyways, Filament V4. If you're a Filament person, it's out. Exciting stuff. These guys have just been killing it, absolutely killing it with what they've been doing.
We actually golfed with a Filament guy.
That's right.
Alex Six,
yeah. Yeah. These guys are killing it. I love their work. The admin, I don't understand how these paid product admin panels, Nova is one of them. Although I don't know if Nova is even still a thing. Laravel Nova, does anybody know if Laravel Nova is still a thing? I mean, I don't know how Filament hasn't just like decimated that whole industry with what they do. I know Backpack was another one. There's a few out there that, you know, they had free tiers, but you really had to pay to actually use it. So, yeah, I don't know. For me, for my money. Development just does the job and does it well. John, I've been talking too much.
You're doing a good job. I mean, you had a ton of stuff on here. And you still have a ton of stuff. Holy cow.
I still have a ton of stuff. I know.
But really, it's all so much Laravel, Laricon base.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this try catch one isn't. Oh, it does say in Laravel. I don't know why it says in Laravel. I read this one. What's Laravel specific about this one? It's nothing Laravel specific. See, this kills me. Like, this is like a clickbaity thing people do in our field. They just throw Laravel onto something because they know, you know, people will read it because it says Laravel. But this is just a try catch thing. But I don't want to go over it now. We'll go over this next week. It's one of those things where, like, they have a bunch of different, like, ways people do it and why it's wrong and how you should be doing it. And I like just to quiz John on, you know, how many he's guilty of, because I was, like, guilty of doing all of them.
I'm looking at it now. So, yeah, let's talk about it next week. And you're right. There's nothing Laravel about it. Very
good, baby. Right. Dude, my list, man, we got enough cards on here to talk for a month, man.
Yeah, we got a picture with Jeffrey Davidson. He's in this
good. Matter of fact, Jeffrey, I think, asked for the picture of us, which was very, you know, like, it, that's cool, but, like, Jeffrey and I talk all the time. Like, we're friends, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm glad he wanted to take a picture of me, but I was like, I never got a picture of TJ. Fucking TJ was at my house for a week, and I still didn't get a picture with TJ. Didn't get a picture with him at Laricon. Didn't get a picture with him here at the house. I mean, I have the hidden cameras I put in his room. I mean, I haven't looked through those yet, but even then, I'm not with him, except the time I was standing over him watching him sleep. But that was for safety. That was a safety thing.
You should make sure he's still breathing.
You're such a good host. I did take a really candid picture of TJ with my dog, who clearly loves TJ much more than she likes me, because she was just that dog was always by TJ's side. TJ's a dog guy too. I know he has a few of them. So he, you know, maybe me kicking her all the time is not a good thing, and how TJ handles it is better, but I don't know. Could be wrong.
Oh. Way to rile people up. Good job.
I'm gonna get killed. I don't kick my dog. I'm actually very afraid. Oh, the only reason we have a dog is because I'm not that person who could take a dog to a pound. I think we've talked about this. If you're just catching up or the first time listening, my dog, Toast, who's a lot of dog, first off, we call her our foster fail, because we were initially fostering her. And then after a couple months, and we say, hey, how long are we going to foster this dog for? The person's like, oh, yeah, just take it to the pound. And it's just like, well, shit, I can't do that. So, like, you know, we half-assed try to get rid of her for a couple years. We still do every now and then. But, yeah, I'm very loving and patient with the animals. So, but if you're looking for a puppy, let me know. She's not a puppy anymore. She's like three years old. 100 pounds, not a big dog, and boy, she has muscle. Like, she is a strongest dog I've ever had. Damn dog pulls me around. It's crazy. All right, I feel like I wandered off again. John, you've got to keep me focused. I need to cut back on the Adderall, dude. I'm like, no, I gotta cut back on it.
all that from not getting a picture with TJ.
All that from not getting a picture with TJ. Exactly. All right. I think that's it. Are we done?
Yeah. Yeah. We got lots to talk about next week.
Lots to talk about next week. Okay. Listen, one more time. If you've tuned in late, first, thanks everybody who joined us. Wonderful time. Good participation this year. Appreciate it. But if you're listening to the podcast, look at your screen and use those discount codes. And if you're listening to the audio version only, you're just going to have to go back and watch it. That's what you shouldn't have said what the code was earlier. You should just display it on the screen. So if people are watching the audio version, they have to go to the YouTube channel to see what the codes are.
Is that how I screwed up? No, yeah. I want the audio listeners to get it as well. So I will say it again. I also changed the font because I felt like the font made the code very hard to read.
Made the six kind of disappeared.
And the three look like a question mark. It was weird. So anyway, you have two options. but for the next week. 6 months free. Use promo code podcast6 at checkout. Or for the next 10 years, because I don't know what I'm doing with Stripe and I don't know how to use Stripe, as you pressed last week, you get, it's not, I shouldn't say $1.99 a month. You get $3 off per month. So I think if we ever change the price of the magazine, that's going to change. So that will be interesting. Remind me of that when we talk about price changes.
Oh, especially if we go down, huh?
Yeah.
Like all of a sudden we're paying people like $2 a month to read the magazine.
So take advantage now and hope we forget in the next 10 years.
That's like that Trump thing. We lowered the cost 1,500%.
Because that's how math works.
How did this work? I'm glad you said that, because I'm thinking, we're never going to raise the price, John. Why would they care? And I'm like, well, wait a minute. If we do actually ever get it down to $1.99, that could be a problem.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously we'll work around it. We just have to remember before we do it.
Well, I think you phrased it right. $1.99 a month, right? So you never said $3 off is the official like thing behind this code. So right. I think legally, you know, we have some wiggle room there, John. Yeah. Good job.
Yeah, Schemer, you are correct. I did not point out why it was podcast 3. It's because it's $3 off, and I'm not very good with naming things.
You heard it on a podcast.
Naming things is hard.
That's pretty much it. Yeah. We good?
Yep.
Hey, everybody. Yes. This has been fun. Thanks for hanging out with us. I think we all, as a collective, had a good show. Good job. And see you guys next week. No problems next week, right?
Nope, not that I know of.
All right, see you guys next week.
This has been PHP Podcast, the official podcast of PHP Architect, the industry's leading tech magazine and publisher focused on PHP and web development. Subscribe today at phparch.com to see what the leaders in the community and industry are talking about.